You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton,
and I'm Tristan Carcino.
And it has been a busy day in Seattle sports. We wanted to get out early this week ahead of what we thought was going to happen Wednesday. We didn't know all that was going to happen on Wednesday. Starting with Tyler Lockett officially being released by the Seahawks. We're not going to do the full farewell to Tyler Lockett today. We'll save that for next week's pod because, unfortunately, that was overshadowed not long after by the news that DK Metcalf has requested a trade from the Seahawks. Multiple national NFL reporters reporting that Wednesday morning. And so after we had a conversation about DK's trade value and you were like, run it back with him, suddenly that option looks less certain for the Seahawks.
Probably. It's probably less certain.
I mean, it's certainly less certain,
yes. It's still possibly an option, though. I wouldn't say that this is done. I do think teams are less willing to sit on a disgruntled star player than they used to be, I think. And I would say that the most likely outcome is that DK Metcalf is traded. And I think the most likely outcome is that he's traded before the draft. So
I can see at the draft. I don't think after the draft is likely.
If he's still on the roster post-draft, I mean, they kind of need to know going into the draft because, again, the wide receiver room is looking pretty barren right now.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, who, what did he post on Twitter today? But it's the Will Smith meme for sure. He did not post that, but that's what's going on with JSN.
But, I mean, it's also, like, this is a... I think this is an extension issue. Not I think. This is an extension issue with DK.
100%. Yes.
And
he posted AOWTF.
I mean, I agree with him. But honestly, I think all parties are acting appropriately in this situation. And I have to say.
Wow. This is one of the mildest takes you've ever had.
I have been so extraordinarily critical of John Schneider, but giving DK Metcalf an extension at this point is the wrong decision.
I mean, I don't know that I would blanket say that. I mean, I think one of the things...
You could always come up with a number where it's like the right number, but of the number that DK Metcalf is looking for, the Seahawks had a number. They talked about it. They weren't just like, we'll never extend you, right? But there's the reality that DK Metcalf wanted more than the Seahawks were willing to give, and I'm pretty confident the Seahawks had a better idea of what his long-term ability to exceed the cap number that he'll be paid performance-wise is going to be. And I think the Seahawks are probably right about it. It sucks because that it boils it down to a business and that number less human beings, right? But the chances of DK Metcalf on this deal that he gets, whether it's in Seattle or somewhere else, performing at a higher level value than the cap number, especially for the duration of the deal or multiple years of the deal, is extraordinarily low.
I mean, I think the other thing I'd say, though, is part of the reason that I thought all along that DK Metcalf getting traded was more likely than you thought was because of the fact that DK Metcalf is not the Seahawks' number one receiver anymore. That is Jackson Smith and Jigba. And there's a lot of places that DK can go, maybe not necessarily the contenders that my ESPN colleague Adam Schefter reported he'd prefer to go to.
We'd all prefer a contender. Like, I don't know.
No, some people probably wouldn't.
It's like, I want to go to the worst team possible.
But, you know, you're going to get a lot of balls if you go to the worst team possible. You're going to get a lot of targets.
Give me some of them Jordan Poole shots.
Yes. Who among us doesn't aspire to be Jordan Poole? But anyways, there's a lot of places that DK Metcalf can go and be a number one receiver and potentially have more value to that team. So I think the other team that can be acting rationally here is the team that trades for DK Metcalf could also be acting rationally. I mean, it could be a win-win trade is what I'm telling you.
I agree. And literally what I said earlier this week, every time that you see a team about to pay a star player and have the option, you get to this point, Brandon Ayuk last year, right? You get to the point, you can either pay that player or you can trade them a year ahead. That is where the Seahawks have gotten to with DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf requested the trade. I don't think it has anything to do with him being the number two receiver. I think if you asked DeKalen Metcalf,
Oh,
I
don't think
he is not the Seahawks number two receiver.
To be clear, I don't think it's role, but I think that another team might be willing to pay DK Metcalf more than clearly another team will be willing to pay DK Metcalf more than the Seahawks will be. And I think the fact that he will be their number one receiver is part of the reason they'll be willing to do that.
Well, it's also probably the reason that this idea of going to a contender is like, we'll see.
I mean, it depends which contender. Like the Chargers are a team that has immediately been floated.
Depends on how excited about Drake May you are.
Fair. Former Seahawks wide receiver coach Sanjay Lal is there as their wide receiver coach. That's a team that makes a lot of sense where, you know, they have some, well, I mean, Ladd McConkey might be their number one. Maybe he's their Jackson Smith and Jigba, and DK isn't the number one either way, but, you know, it's a little bit different situation, I suppose. I think one of the things that points I wanted to make here is I think people think about it is sort of like there's these two separate paths of, you know, trade DK, extend DK. And what a good organization we'd be doing is you're evaluating both of those at the same time. Based on what the trade market is, what the expected return is for DK Metcalf in a trade, that determines what kind of extension you're willing to pay him, basically. So, you know, I think people just think of it as, well, if the player is good, don't trade. But it's always relative to what, you know, it's going to cost you and what you're going to get in return.
This is the most ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton thing to mention.
Should I just give them a B+ for the trade proactively?
Yeah, just. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if it's a B+.
B+ for the trade request?
Similar types of situations. Like this isn't, I don't think this is a similar situation. It's not, I don't think, it's not a similar situation to say AJ Brown a couple of years ago. And granted, the Titans got a lot of value for AJ Brown. They got a first round pick back. They just happened to draft a receiver who wasn't as good as AJ Brown. Process wise, probably, I'd probably a B+ process wise. The decision is almost always a better decision to go get a first round draft pick. The most valuable players that you can have on your roster are players drafted in the late first round, second and third rounds, right? Basically, at any given situation, you either have a superstar quarterback or you got a lot of those guys because that's how the NFL is structured. And so I think when looking at this, if the Seahawks can end up with a pick in the second round or the third round, I mean, you said the Chargers were a team that was mentioned. It was sort of like New England at 38, second round pick might be a little bit too high. I don't know. That pick, Pittsburgh at 52, Green Bay at 54, the Chargers at 55. And then kind of those subsequent picks in the third round as well. If the Seahawks end up with one of those, A, it's a very valuable player to bring in. It's a valuable pick to have one of those picks if the Seahawks end up with those. But also, they have the privilege of not extending DK Metcalf. And while he would be a valuable player on the field for the next couple of seasons, like if they go out and draft a receiver with one of these first or second round picks that they have, there is a reasonable possibility that they get more value from that player and are able to spread the cap number around in other places as well. Because like we've talked about, this team is hypothetically contending. They're not young, but they still have quite a few holes to fill overall.
Yeah, and I mean, part of what you're reinvesting that, like everyone thinks about who's the receiver that Tennessee drafted that you were kind of high on with the AJ Brown pick? Yeah. But it was also that like they invested that money in veteran receivers who weren't as productive as they hoped, I think was part of it. And like, you know, you can go out and sign a veteran receiver and there's a lot of them on the market this offseason with some of that money as well. You know, it's not going to be up to if they trade him for a draft pick and draft a receiver, not going to be just up to that receiver, I guess is what I'm saying.
As a one-to-one. Yeah. But I mean, they need to find a receiver overall. The Seahawks will draft a receiver within the first three rounds of the draft. I would be shocked if assuming they trade DK.
Yes. Which again, they can have the option of, I mean, I think it's a similar situation where, you know, if DK wasn't extended, you assume there was going to be some type of holdout. I don't know if that would linger into the season where it begins costing him money, but there is a certain point at which he would have to show up, you know, to get credited with year of service and become a free agent after this season, which is necessary. The Seahawks went through this situation with a receiver in 1999 with Joey Galloway, who missed like the first six games of that season, I want to say, when they ended up as AFC West champions in Mike Holmgren's first year in Seattle. And then subsequently after that year, I think they may have franchised him and then traded him to Dallas for at least a first, yeah, a two first round picks, which turned into Sean Alexander, and the other one turned into. Didn't turn into Walter Jones, did it? No, Walter Jones was 96. I don't know what the math is, but it was maybe Chris McIntosh. I thought it was an offensive lineman.
I think it was Chris McIntosh. I think
Okay.
that's right.
But they had the seventh pick, apparently. They got that was one of the two picks they got for him. Obviously, you're not getting that amount, and that trade is bonkers in hindsight by the Cowboys, for the record.
I love Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Just looking at the free agent receivers that are out there.
So
I wish that they could just flip like a fourth round pick to the Rams for Cooper Kupp.
I doubt the Rams would make that trade in division, but
I know. It's so frustrating that they can't.
yeah.
But being able to end up with Cooper Kupp, like if it's 1-1, I'd possibly maybe take Cooper Kupp right now, even still. I think this is fine overall.
Right. I mean, a lot of the talk today is like, what a dire day in Seattle sports. The Kraken traded away two players for Tampa Bay. This seems like an A-plus trade. They got two first round picks and they're a bad team. They should be trading veterans away. Like the Tyler Lockett, obviously it's sad to officially see him go. We knew this
We
was
knew it
happening
was
for a
coming.
long period of time. I do not see this as a dire day in Seattle sports, and not just because the UW women's basketball win.
There we go. But just carte blanche. Almost any time the Seahawks have been on the wrong end of this, almost any time that you are trading draft capital for the privilege of extending somebody, you have done something wrong. It's not a matter of fact, they're outliers. Almost any time that you're doing that, you have done something wrong as an NFL general manager. And that is what somebody is about to do for DK Metcalf. And for once, if John Schneider nails it, this will be a good process decision for the Seahawks because they're kind of in both. We've talked about a timeline. Their timeline isn't really right now, and their timeline isn't really the future. They need more players on the roster. And if they can nail this draft, you know, if they can end up with another second round pick, third round pick, plus a later pick. If they can nail this draft, all of a sudden they can make the timeline be now by having those players. It doesn't take that long in the NFL. So I like DK. I will be sad to see him not on the Seahawks. There's a shelf life with wide receivers, and there's a shelf life with wide receivers like DK Metcalf, and both even just the volatility of having somebody like that on your team. Like a trade request was coming. And there also is a shelf life. Performance-wise, you know what I mean? Like DK Metcalf is probably moving toward a second phase of his career.
Probably
So
so. Yeah.
you should trade those players before that happens, not after.
All right. Well, we'll obviously have a better idea of what's happening. Some emerging reporting from Bob Condotta at the Seattle Times that Ernest Jones, Seahawks linebacker, free agent linebacker, Ernest Jones IV had knee surgery after the season. Not considered major, but we'll see what sort of impact that has on a potential new deal for him. Obviously, plenty more to come on free agency, which will be well
Man, the
underway by
NFL's
that point.
happening, isn't it? Jesus.
It's a 24/7 news cycle. But did want to touch briefly on UW women's basketball getting a crucial win in their opening Big Ten tournament game. Beat Minnesota 79-65, a 2-point game at halftime. I listened to much more of this than I actually was able to watch because I was driving back from an event in the middle of the day. But Huskies go on a couple of runs in the second half to open up a double-digit lead and end up winning this 79-65 behind 21 points from El Ladin on 9-17 shooting. Three other player starters in double figures. A nice, really balanced performance. And the Huskies now five consecutive wins to end the Big Ten regular season, and they just kept beating other bubble teams in this stretch. Rutgers, not so much. That's a team whose season is likely coming to an end as they're playing right now against. But Nebraska, they beat by 21 in Lincoln. Minnesota beat by 10 in Minneapolis, now 14 on a neutral site, and then Oregon beat by 8 at home. This is a statement by this UW women's basketball team that they deserve to be elevated over some of these other teams that are in bubble consideration.
Are we
And
in with this or no?
I mean, you never know because it's going to depend on how many bid thieves there are in other conferences
Bid thieves.
and
I love that term.
How dare they? And what happens to some of the other bubble teams that we talked about on the weekly pod that aren't in action until Thursday? We also have, this Nebraska game, I guess, was the one that really had a chance to help the Huskies out if Rutgers could have pulled the upset. Doesn't look like that's happening as they're playing in action. But of course, the way that the Huskies could ensure they're in is go on and beat Michigan. That game is 2:30 p.m. on Thursday,
You
2:30
think
p.m.
that's it?
Pacific time. I
You
mean,
think that a win there and they're it?
yeah, and the other part of this conversation here is, even if they are in either way, there's the question of, are you in the first four? Are you advancing directly to the first round of the NCAA tournament? That's a pretty big distinction. I think they beat a Michigan team that, we talked about is projected as a 7 seed in the tournament. Like that would be, you're getting into a 10 seed range, I think, at that point for the Huskies, most likely. So, plenty more to come on this. The action for the next 3 days of the Big Ten tournament shifts to Big Ten Network after today's game was on Peacock. For everyone who's checking that out, then the final on Sunday will be on CBS. Probably a long shot. The Huskies are going to win four consecutive times, pull three upsets to get all the way to the final. But again, a very good result for them today. And if they can beat Michigan on Thursday, then I think you'd no longer probably have to sweat out selection Sunday. So definitely some exciting news. We haven't seen UW women's basketball in the NCAA tournament since Kelsey Plum's senior year in
Wow.
2017. Haven't seen either men's or women's basketball. March Madness has not included these Huskies. It's quite a lot of UConn Huskies.
Yeah.
Has not included the UW Huskies since 2019 on either the men's or women's side.
Oh
So
my
we are
God.
long overdue
Okay,
for,
beat Michigan.
yeah, should be a fun one. I will be scheduled to land in Boston just about at tip-off time, so we will see how much that I actually end up catching. But
What time do you say?
we'll be
11.
following along.
11:30
2:30
Pacific,
p.m.
East Pacific.
Yes,
Okay. I told you to remind me when the game was happening. No reminder.
I turned out to be busy, unfortunately. All right, well, we'll see if I've landed and can text you on this one tomorrow. On that note,
Thanks for listening.
thanks.